Well, Jonah, we all know the story, don't we? It's such a familiar story. That's why I started with the other pictures, hoping you wouldn't guess it from that. If I'd shown you that one, you'd have probably guessed it straight away. But the problem is that when we think of Jonah, if I said, what's the first thing that comes into your head? If I said Jonah, you think?
Fish.
And that's not the story. That's not what the book is about. We have made the fish the priority. We have made the fish the main emphasis of the story. So when we think of Jonah, we think of a fish. When I was little, it was a whale. Then he suddenly realised the Bible didn't say whale, and then it went back to fish. But that's what we think about when we think of Jonah, is that we think of a fish. And if that's all we think about, we've missed the whole purpose of the book. We've missed why it's even included in Scripture. Because there's a much more miraculous story than a fish. Oh, you mean the fact of the storm? No, there's something even more miraculous than a storm. Oh, I know. It was the wind that that God produced. No, it wasn't the wind. It wasn't the plant. It wasn't the worm. So what's the story? What's the miracle? What's the purpose of the book? A whole city gets saved. That's the purpose. That's what we should think of when we think of Jonah and we think of him going to Nineveh, is that a people, a whole city, repented and was saved from destruction. And yet that sometimes doesn't even enter into our thinking when we think of Jonah. It's the fact that this city got saved. And you look at Jonah, well, he's not your example of a good prophet, is he? He's not one whose example we would want to follow. He's not one that we should try to sort of have an example in our lives. She's not picking me up.
No, it's
fine. Okay. So, what was the purpose behind this? If the reason is I've given you the end. It's not really a good way to start, I've just realised. I've given you the end without giving you the beginning. It's like reading the last chapter of a book. But what was Nineveh? Nineveh was the capital city of Assyria. And depending on different scholars, you could have 120,000 people up to 1 million people. Wow, what a city. Wow, what a place to go. You know, if you got a call from God, I want you to go to, I don't know, Jill's there, Swansea. You should be, wow, God wants me to go somewhere. God's got a purpose for me. God's got a reason. I've heard from God. He's given me a direct thing. Well, that's not Jonah, was it? Could we have the slide, Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, please? Estella, could you read that for us, please?
Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it, to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord.
If you just leave that slide there, do you see what happened? Jonah gets this wonderful, wonderful direction from God. Go to this evil place. Go to this place where people do the most unmentionable, horrible things and tell them I'm going to destroy them. And was he happy? No, he wasn't. He didn't want to go there. Maybe he thought, just destroy them. You know, just, you don't need me to go there. So what does he do? He goes on a ship in the opposite direction. But did you notice twice there, it says that he was trying to flee from the presence of the Lord. He wanted to get away from the presence of the Lord. And so people think, well, Jonah, you won't catch me doing that. That's not something we would do. If we've heard something from God, oh, we'd get so excited. You know, we think it's wonderful. But I want to tell you, folks, that sometimes in our lives, when it's difficult, or God wants us to do something we don't want to do, we run away. He said, well, you can't run away from God. God's everywhere. I mean, even in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve tried to run from the presence of God, it says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. You can't hide from God. Jonah couldn't hide from God. Although it says there twice, that was his intention. That's what he wanted to do. He couldn't do it. But in our lives, sometimes we want to hide from God. We don't want to be where God could speak to us. What do I mean by that? How do we hide from God if God's asking us to do something difficult, or there's something in our lives that displeases Him? How do we hide from God? These are the first signs of hiding from God. You don't pray to Him like you used to, because you're hiding from Him. You don't want to hear what He wants to say to you. You don't read or meditate on His Word. Why? You're hiding from Him. You don't want God to speak to you. So you hide from Him from the ways that you know He talks to you. Because He'll talk to you through His Word. He talks to you when you pray. And what's another way? Gathering together, whether it be prayer meetings or Bible home groups or Sundays, you will stop going. Why? Because you want to hide from Him. Just like Jonah tried to hide from the presence of the Lord. Oh, you can still do those things, but you don't want to. There's no desire because you don't want to hear from the Lord. And you run away from Him. So what happens in this story? What happens next in this story? Well, Jonah thinks that this is lovely. God wanted me in Nineveh. Ha ha! I'm travelling in the opposite direction. Ha! I've fooled Him. I've got away from Him. My intention was to flee from Him, and I've done it. And then what happens? A storm. A violent storm. Suddenly a storm comes. The sailors are frightened. Jonah said, well, it's my fault. Hands up. I'm running away from God. That's why you've got a storm. And what do the sailors do? They try to sail through the storm to no avail. They couldn't do it. So Jonah says, throw me overboard. So here's the second thing I learned from Jonah. One is you can't hide from God, although we might try and we stop doing certain things. The second thing is this. Storms suddenly appear in your life, just as they did with Jonah. Now, I'm not saying that all storms in your life means you're trying to run away and hide from God. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying if you're running away from God, if you're hiding from God, if you're not praying, if you're not in the Word, if you're not meeting with His people, don't be surprised if all of a sudden a storm out of nowhere comes into your life. Because God loves you. And He wants to say, you thought you could get away from me. Here I am. I'm in the storm. Jonah realized straight away that he was in a storm because he was running away from God. And I want to say, if you go through a storm, you will know instantly if that storm has come into your life because you're trying to run away from God. You will know straight away that this is not a storm to build you, or it's not a storm that's come for any other reason, except that God is trying to get your attention. Can you imagine that? And, you know, Jonah is probably there. I don't know, maybe he was sunbathing, thinking, oh, this is the life. God wanted me in Nineveh, but I can sunbathe. No thought of God whatsoever. And then suddenly there's a storm. And suddenly he realizes that you can't run away from God. Suddenly he realizes that God will show up and say, here I am, Jonah. Here I am. You can't hide from me. Yeah, wouldn't it have been lovely if Jonah was a bit like Isaiah? Well, when Isaiah heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then Isaiah said, here I am, send me. Jonah wasn't like that. Jonah's response wasn't like that. And God chose somebody who didn't really want to do the task. God chose somebody whose heart was not in it. But God still wanted the job done. And therefore he turned up in the storm to Jonah and said, here I am. Here I am. And I don't know, but sometimes a storm can hit you out of the blue. And I'm just saying, what I'm going to mention is when you've been hiding and running from God, not doing what he's asked. Maybe you get health issues, family issues. Maybe you lose your job. Maybe you have bills piling up. And other things can come out of the blue. The response is this, get right with God. The response is what Jonah did. We look at it in a second. He prayed to the living God when he realized the predicament that he was in. You see, sometimes storms have a purpose and have a reason. And if you're hiding and running from God, the reason and the purpose is to get back to God. Think of the prodigal son. When the storm of life hit him, he thought, I'm better off going back to my father. Hear the storm of life, and he went back to his father. See, those sailors were suddenly facing a storm. Lives in danger, livelihoods in danger. Everything they had worked for, everything they needed to make a living. They're in danger of losing it all. I'm going to say something else now, based on Jonah. A bit of a step, but I'm going to say something else. If you're running away from God, if you're trying to get away from God because he's asked you to do something you don't want to do, and you're not praying, you're not meeting, and a storm of life comes, it comes to get your attention, it affects other people. You're not the only one who gets affected by a storm because you run away from God. That storm affected the other sailors. They were scared. They were frightened. They thought they were going to lose the ways of making a living. So I'm suggesting this morning that when a storm comes because of you running away from God, hiding from him, that storm affects, and I'm going to use the word carefully, innocent people. It's a dangerous place to be, running and hiding from God, when he's asked you to do something. And he planned the fish and he planned the storm. Jonah said to them in verse 9, I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. I find that a bit amazing. I almost find that unbelievable. That Jonah told the sailors, I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord. Well, there wasn't much evidence that he feared the Lord. He also said that this Lord is the God of heaven who made the sea and dry land. Well, if he knew that, he should have known he couldn't get away from him. If he knew that this Lord that he feared made the dry land and the sea, he should have realized he couldn't get out of his presence, even if he wanted to. But I think Jonah suddenly had a realization. The storm's here because of me. It's here because of me. And everything is affected because of me. So he gets thrown, as we saw in that funny picture, into the sea. The sailors didn't want to do it. But they did. And do you know what? Something of Jonah got through to them. I don't know what or how, apart from the grace of God. Because it says in verse 16, the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord. and they made vows. Do you see this has got so far nothing to do with the fish? So far, we've got a man who heard from God, a prophet who heard from God, who tried to get out of the presence of God, and then a storm came, and he gets thrown into the sea. And then a fish came and swallowed him. The only importance of the fish is that Jesus makes mention of it. Because Jesus said, for as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. By the way, that to me makes this story real. It's not a little parable. It's not a little story to illustrate a point. There was a Jonah. There was a boat. There was a storm. There was Jonah being, and there was thrown overboard, and the fish came and swallowed him. That really happened. It's fact. Because Jesus says this. I need no other evidence. Then Jesus said, just as Jonah was, so I will be. So what happens? There's a storm. Why do you think God does this for Jonah and for us? Why do these things happen when we're trying to hide? Why do these things happen when we're trying to escape? Well, it's so that we can actually get back to God. We can think about what we've done. We can come to, in a sense, our senses like the prodigal son. And we can repent and we can change course and we can change direction and we can ask God for forgiveness. But think of his situation. Anybody been swallowed by a fish? Can you girls, what do you think it was like inside the fish? Scary, yeah? Anything else? Anything else? What do you think it was like? Sorry? Yeah, there would be fish inside the fish because it would eat fish. So there's decaying fish, which would mean it was... it would have stunk, and it would have been dark, and it would have been very, very hot. And in that circumstance, he prays to God. In that circumstance, he prays to the living God. In the darkness, in the heat, in the stink, he prays to God. From the belly of the fish. And you can read about that in chapter 2, where he calls out to the Lord out of my distress. So what does God do? What does God do? God sent him to Nineveh. He didn't want to go. We have a storm. He gets swallowed. He's praying to God. He says, I call out to the Lord in my distress. What did God do? Well, it tells us in the first two. First one, sorry. And he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. That should encourage you, should encourage me, that when we try to run from him, try to get out of his presence, he sends a storm. We have time to think. We have time to be with our God, and we cry out to him for forgiveness. And guess what? He hears us. Isn't that wonderful? He hears us, even though we were running away, even though we wanted to do the opposite to what he asked us. He heard us. And that is just so wonderful, isn't it? It says in the psalm, in my distress I called upon the Lord. To my God I cried for help. From his temple he heard my voice. And my cry to him reached his ears. Another psalm. I sought the Lord and he answered me. And he delivered me from all my fears. Do you think Jonah was a bit frightened in that belly of the fish? Do you think he's frightened? Do you think he's a bit scared? A bit worried? Thinking, how did I end up here? Well, I think he knew why he was there. But he knew he could still cry to God. He knew he could still call upon the living God and that the living God would hear him. And in that prayer, he praises him. He lifted up his voice and he gave thanks to the Lord. And he said, I'm going to go and tell people. I'll go and tell them. Deliver me is really what he's asking for. Oh, isn't this now turns to a much happier happier saga, doesn't it? There's a happy ending. There's something to rejoice. Because the Lord, it says in verse 10 of chapter 2, and the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out. The fish, by the way, was more obedient than Jonah. I just thought that it struck me as funny. And so we've got a happy ending, haven't we? He's back with God. Back on dry land. No storm. The sailors, by the way, they didn't perish. And if the story ended there, great. But it doesn't. Because in the story, we're going to get to there. Because he gets sent out again. God tells Jonah, go to Nineveh. And he's thinking, what? It says in chapter 3, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was a great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. It's a big city, it takes 3 days to get across it. It's a big city, thousands of people. And he had a simple message. God's going to destroy your city. That's all he was told to say. And this time, he goes. Do you think he went willingly this time? You do? I'm not so sure he went willingly. I think he probably went thinking, well, I know what happened last time. It didn't work out very well for me last time. Okay, God, you've got me. You've got me this time. I'll go. I don't want to go because I don't like the Assyrians. They're horrible people. Why send me to them? I don't want to end up in the belly of something worse than a big fish. I'll go. So he goes. And it says there that they heard Jonah. In fact, that's wrong. It doesn't say they heard Jonah. It actually says that they heard and believed God. That's what it says in Jonah 3, verses 4 and 5. So when Jonah said, God's going to destroy this city, they heard the words of God, and they reacted, and they responded, and they fasted, and they repented, and they put sackcloths on. And it all was looking so wonderful. Isn't that fantastic? Jonah, the most successful person ever. One sentence, and thousands of people turned to God. Shall we end there? Because that's a nice place to end, isn't it? We've still got a happy ending. Thousands of people are saved from destruction. You would think that's a wonderful thing. Even the king got involved. Because the king of Nineveh says, who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his anger so that we might not perish. Even this king had a faith and a trust that God might save them. It's a great place to end. But it's the wrong place to end. That's why I'm going to try and cover it all, because we need to see the story. We need to see what happens next. We need to see what happens, because we've got there Jonah speaking to the crowd. Even the king gets involved. I want to tell you, wouldn't that be great if when people went out and they went to all nations, that royalty turned to Christ? Governments turn to Christ, and then you get laws that reflect what God wants, and then you get a call for people to repent. All kinds of people, murderers, adulterers, drunks, abusers, all kinds of people. That's what happened in Nineveh. Wow! Fantastic! Jonah must have been so on cloud nine to see what God had accomplished. Salvation to this great city. Because when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster, and he did not do it. So, how was Jonah? Was Jonah going, "Wow, praise you, Lord, you did it! You saved Nineveh, I'm so happy"? That's his reaction. He was angry. How could you, God? How could you save them? Don't you know what they've done? Don't you know how they blasphemed you? Don't you know what they're... How could you? Because he prayed to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? That's why I flee to Tarshish. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and you would relent from the disaster." That's why he didn't want to go, because he didn't want to see them saved. Wow. We are told by Jesus, go into the world and preach the gospel to all nations. It's all nations. It doesn't matter how they've blasphemed God. It doesn't matter what their lives are like. It doesn't matter about the colour of their skin. It doesn't matter what they do and what they've done. They need to hear the good news of the gospel. The people of Nineveh needed to hear that one sentence, and on that one sentence they turned their lives around. And I just pray and hope there's not many Jonas in the global church of Christ thinking, "Well, I don't want to go and tell them the gospel. They don't deserve to hear it." Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Everybody needs to hear the good news of the gospel. And where did Jonah get this idea of God from? Well, Exodus tells us, "The Lord passed before and proclaimed, 'The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness.'" We don't often realize that's how the Jewish nation saw their God. Jonah knew that their God was merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. That's the God Jonah knew. And we don't often think of the Old Testament people believing in a God like that. Well, they did. That was their God. And this God is the same today. He is still a God who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. You see, Peter says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." You see, Jonah wanted judgment, but God gave grace. Jonah wanted the city destroyed, but God gave mercy. Jonah wanted the people condemned. God gave forgiveness. And isn't that just a wonderful thing for us? That we need to believe in the God that Jonah believed in. And instead of being like Jonah running away, we need to run to the people and tell them about the God. Because just as God commissioned Jonah, he's commissioned you and me when he said, "Go into the nations and preach the gospel." Now, has anybody managed to crack the code? You think you have? Okay. What do you think it says? It says blood. Blood is absolutely correct. Now you're going to think, what on earth has blood got to do with Jonah? Aren't you? What has blood got to do with Jonah? That's a weird, strange thing to say, isn't it? Blood? Why am I giving you that little code which has the word blood in it? Ever heard of the Day of Atonement? A feast in the Old Testament called Yom Kippur. I might have pronounced that wrong. Do you know what book they read on the afternoon of that feast? Have a guess. Have a guess what book they read on the afternoon during that feast. It's the book of Jonah. So on the Book of Atonement, where the blood is put onto that goat and the goat runs out, the scapegoat runs out and never seen again, to illustrate how the sin is dealt with, pointing to Christ, they read the Book of Jonah, because the Book of Jonah is about repentance and is about forgiveness, which they saw as in the blood. Wow. That's why they read the Book of Jonah. because they see all that in the book of Jonah. They see the, they didn't realize it, but they were looking forward to the cross, the blood. Because that's the only way for forgiveness. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. That's why they read the book of Jonah. And that's why I put the code blood in it. Because the Jewish nation celebrate Yom Kippur, celebrate the Day of Atonement with the book of Jonah. It tells of God's mercy. It tells us of God's love. It tells us of his faithfulness. It tells us about his forgiveness that can only come through the blood of the Lamb. Amen.